Welcome to episode 2 of the Catino Talking Mets podcast on Metsmerized Online. This episode we will dedicate to the Hall of Fame talk going around baseball, both the one in Cooperstown, and I got some news about the one at Citi Field. We'll also chat with Brandon Nimmo of the Mets about his progress and how he's watched the progress of Amed Rosario and why he would love to be in an everyday lineup with him every single waking moment. The Hall of Fame vote is something I do not possess, but if I did, here would be my ballot. Mariano Rivera, Roy Halladay, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Jeff Kent, Edgar Martinez, Larry Walker, Billy Wagner, Sammy Sosa, Gary Sheffield, Curt Schilling. Those of you who follow me know I'm no Roger Clemens fan, but the all-time strikeout leader and the all-time home run hitter Barry Bonds simply put, deserve to be in Cooperstown. While we're at it, so does Pete Rose, the all-time leader in hits. Sorry, Ichiro, but it is indeed Charlie Hustle. The player at the top of those three categories has to be enshrined, but I do think their plaques need to be noted with their entire bio, including steroid use, gambling on the game, and lying under oath. The Hall of Fame is not a church. It is a place where the history of the game is presented, and that history has some good spots and some not-so-good spots. In fact, I think some existing members should have truthful bios on their plaques about their lives, like Ty Cobb, whose baseball acumen should be respected, but whose life should never be emulated. The issue we keep hearing is whether Mariano Rivera should be a unanimous choice, and my answer is a resounding yes. He was the best I ever saw in my life closing the game, and nobody comes close. I know players like Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, and Tom Seaver should have been unanimous choices, but to neglect Rivera's greatness because of that is utter nonsense. Some of my other choices might be questioned, but my Hall of Fame analysis is always based on whether that player was at the top or near the top of the sport in their years playing it. Jeff Kent has been a blatant omission, and Billy Wagner closed games at a high level for 4 different teams in his career at a very high level of performance. Since Edgar Martinez was one of the greatest DHs I've ever seen, if not the greatest, Gary Sheffield hit home run after home run and became a feared hitter, Curt Schilling's postseason acumen is well documented, and Larry Walker might be the best all-around player not in the Hall of Fame. All of those guys sat on perches at the top of this sport during their time in baseball as well. I know most voters shout about numbers, but to me, if you question a Hall of Famer's credentials, then you vote no. And that's how I feel about Andy Pettit and Mike Mussina, whose careers are just a tad below Hall of Fame worthy. To me, Curt Schilling passes both of them in every way, as I think that duo is more commensurate with the case for guys like Jerry Kuzman, who have very good careers but not Hall of Fame worthy ones. While I'm on the topic of the Hall of Fame, I want to implore the Met organization to put Al Leiter in the Mets Hall of Fame. It is a glaring void in that Hall of Fame, since aside from Jerry Kuzman, he was the best Met southpaw in history. And his effort in the postseason was amazing, especially the one-game playoff, complete game shutout over the Reds in the 1999 playoff run, not to mention his amazing performances in the 2000 postseason. I was around Leiter as a reporter during that stretch, and he was a leader in the clubhouse, pushing teammates to reach for their best. We have all heard the cliches, take it one pitch at a time, one batter at a time, one inning at a time, but Leiter illustrated that his entire Met career. Forget about baseball. All businesses need people like Al Leiter if they want to succeed. The argument I hear from Met fans is he announces for the hated Yankees, and that is utter nonsense. He wore the Met orange and blue with pride and showed that pride every waking moment. Get over it. So what, he announces for the Yankees. He put this team on his back time and time again for 2 straight Final Four appearances, and that alone is Met Hall of Fame worthy. Let's get with it. Get Al Leiter in the Hall of Fame, giving him the love back that he showed every Met fan during his entire career. Okay, enough Hall of Fame talk. I chatted late last year with Brandon Nimmo of the Mets about his emergence as a core offensive bat, and also talked about his view of Amed Rosario, whom he feels is a star waiting to explode onto the baseball world. Let's listen in. Brandon, you know, the manager said something after the game that I thought was pretty interesting. He highlighted you and Amed Rosario as bringing energy to this team, and I can tell you for a fact you bring energy to me when I'm down when I come here. But can you talk about that a little bit? Because I think it's something that that not a lot of players can manufacture, and you seem to be able to.
Yeah. You know, I think the best way I can kind of explain that is just that when we go on the field, we can bring a lot of energy with the way we play because of kind of the chaos we can bring on the base paths offensively, and then the way we can move around defensively. So obviously Ahmed is electric defensively and has the electric arm and has the ability to make unbelievable plays. And so that gets you excited because he can do so much defensively. And then offensively, I mean, he can turn triples into, you know, he can take triples from, it almost looks like singles for some guys. He's so fast. And then on the base paths, he's always a threat to steal. You know, for me, a little bit different than Rosie, but I can create some chaos on the base paths with trying to take an extra base or trying to, you know, maybe sneak a steal in there. You know, I might not be, you know, Jose Reyes, but I'm working on it, and that's something that I'm trying to improve on. But it's one of those things that we can at least be a presence out there, and when the pitcher's mind isn't solely on trying to get the hitter out, but he has to think about us as well. That helps our chances. And so I think that's a little bit of that energy. We're also young, and, you know, we still love the game and we enjoy playing it, and we've got that, you know, the young legs, as they say. So I think those are some of the things that we bring to the table. And then obviously you saw it tonight. I mean, he can spark plug an inning by, you know, driving the ball to center field. Getting in scoring position at second and then stealing third, you know. So he's a very special player and does bring a lot of energy to the field.
One quick final one, you know. Even us as reporters, we don't see all the work mm-hmm. that you guys go in. Mm-hmm. He's been working hard at a lot of things. Yeah. You worked hard at a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I don't know if the fans can see that.
Yeah. I mean, we come in, you know, for a 7 o'clock game. Most of us are here by 1 o'clock, and we don't end up leaving until, you know, around 11, you know, 11:30. So, you know, we're putting in 10-hour days most of the time, except for Sundays, and so. There's a lot of work that goes in before that of preparing the body to get ready to go. I mean, Rosie doesn't just get to walk out there and be that fast and that quick and that explosive every single day. He has to put work in. He has to do speed work, training work, ladders, steps. Just he's always working on that kind of stuff. That's the same for me. In order to try and be explosive and play the game hard every day, I have to come and I have to prepare my body for usually preparation takes an hour, and then you lift on top of that, and, you know, that takes another 45 minutes to an hour. We were doing yoga today. Mm-hmm. That's an hour long. And then we also work on hitting and fielding on top of all that. So the hitting, you know, sometimes it's no secret. I'll come in on off days and just so that I can take, you know, the 200 swings that I need to take and not have to play that night. And then same with Ahmed. I mean, there's a lot of hard work that's going in, and fielding, I mean, defensively, before we go out for BP every day, almost while we're at home, the infield does an infield session of ground balls, and we do an outfield session of ground balls and fly balls. And, you know, it all amounts to somewhere around, you know, 4 to 5 hours of work every day before we're even going out on the field. And that's when the lights come on. That's when we need to be ready to go. So some days, if you're feeling really good out there, you don't need to do as much. You just kind of do your basics. But there's a lot of days that are long at work. You're really trying to, you know, work on some things, feel a different thing in your hitting or when you're fielding, trying to create a new habit, whatever it may be. There's a lot of hard work that goes into that. So I think you're seeing some of the fruits of Rosie's labor. I spoke on that a little bit with the Homer the other day. That there's been a lot of hard work over the past 2 weeks. We haven't just been sitting around waiting for this to get better. I'm the type personality, I'm trying to always work to get better, but you know, it's nice to see some fruits of the labor, and I think you're seeing that with Rosie now, and I'm trying to come around as well.
Great to talk to you, and I tell you what, I come in a bad mood sometimes. You get me right out of
Thank
it.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much. I try to do my best.
Nimmo and Rosario will both be part of a core group that I believe will win the NL East. In fact, I only see a few rosters in the National League better than the Mets right now. Dodgers, Cubs, and Cardinals. And none of those teams resides in the NL East. Both Nimmo and Rosario are big reasons I feel that way. So get ready, Met fans, for not only meaningful September baseball, but do-or-die October nights, as the Mets will return to the postseason. That's about all the time we have for in this second edition of the Catino Talking Mets podcast. We will chat next week when I hope to have my first Twitter follower on the podcast. Whom, you ask? I will let that be a surprise. In fact, if you think it should be you, send me a direct Twitter message. Till then, so long, everybody.